Hey. One, two.
Milk is chilling. This is chilling. What more can I say? Top billing.
What up, everybody? This your boy, Bill Bellamy. Yes, this is the number one podcast in the nation. Top billing. We are the podcast for the culture, the movement, and the discussion. Today, my special guest is a writer, producer, and extraordinary funny-ass comedian, Malik S. If you don't know, now you know. He's here at Top Billing. It is a pleasure to welcome you, Malik S.
What's up, brother?
Malik S.
Man.
One of my favorite guys in the game.
Man.
Always been a good guy. Always been right there, right on top of the game. A lot of people will notice him, or if you when you watch this on YouTube, you will notice that you've seen him on The Neighborhood with our good friend Cedric and Tashina Arnold.
Yeah.
I actually did a guest star on that
you
show
did,
as well.
Did
I do a good
it
time?
It was you and it was Terry, right?
Yeah, me and Terry played husband
time.
And wife.
Yeah,
that was
yeah,
and
that
I was just
fun.
I was in them streets again. They always want me in them streets, Malik.
I mean, you did it, man. You did
I know how to do it.
You did booty call, dude. You did a classic. You know, sometimes the industry won't let you shake stuff.
Yeah, I'm always a player or a player hater in everything. Because I know how to hate and I know how to play.
If it paid the mortgage.
If it paid the bills, let's get it, goddammit.
Let's go.
Well, Malik, the reason I wanted to have you on Top Billing because I feel you're one of my favorite comedians personally. I never told you that, but you're one
appreciate
of my favorite
it,
comedians, and I love your energy. And we coincidentally ran into each other the other day.
Bill was at Equinox.
I was at Equinox working out.
You know, good in his life. I don't know where you at in the country, but just say Equinox is like the Ruth Chris of gyms.
Yeah, it's the Ruth Chris of gyms.
Yeah, it ain't.
They got garlic butter on their waist.
It ain't Fridays or Applebee's. It's the Ruth Chris of gyms.
So as God would make it work for us, I got a chance to run into you, and I was like, Malik, you got to stop by Top Billing. And you said, let's do it. And while I was thinking about this before you got in, I said, what did I want to the world to know about Malik S? Is that you're so talented and you've been in the game. I'm saying almost 20, right?
Past 20. We had 23.
And you still look the same. So
yeah,
you got that black don't crack
thing
too.
Same.
But here's the thing that I want to know about your career. Where did you start originally?
I started in Miami.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Right after the Kings. When I saw the Kings of Comedy live, that night.
That's when like, I got to
it's,
do this.
It's a crazy story because me and my friend, I never knew you could do comedy for a living.
I
never knew comedy was like live. I only seen you guys on Def Jam.
Right.
So when the Kings came, it was just like, yo, we went down there to check it out, got some tickets, went in. This was the first run. It was Bernie, Sid, Guy, Tori, and Steve.
Okay.
You know, crazy show, crazy energy. Imagine that's your first comedy show.
You set the bar for yourself.
First comedy show I ever saw.
That's
my
like
life.
Going to see the Dream Team with the All-Stars, you know, and you got to want to play ball.
Yeah, man, and then that night, one of my best friend, he was like, man, you could do this. I was like, man, you crazy. He said, man, you funny, you could do this. And we both wasn't really doing nothing with our lives. And he was like, well, I was thinking about joining the military, bro. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, we ain't doing nothing. He was like, you know, I'm going to do it. I said, well, if you join the military, I'm going to try comedy.
Oh, that's crazy.
And he retires in 12 months, 23 years.
Wow. That's dope. That's a tip. Give him a shout out,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, man. Shout out my boy, Terrell White. He knows the story.
Yeah, Terrell White, man. That's an awesome story.
Had we didn't go to that show, I don't know what my life would be now.
But this is the thing. This is what's beautiful about choices. So your boy said, hey, I want to do something. I'm going to do. He did a career in the military.
Yep.
And you chose to do a career in comedy,
yep,
which is your calling, naturally. You're naturally funny, bro.
Yeah, I didn't know, though.
You didn't know. I didn't know when I started either.
My friends knew. I was just being me.
Yeah.
And then later on at the high school, when you bump into your friends again, they would be like, man, you was always funny.
Right.
I kept hearing it. And then we went to the show. He was like, you funny to them? I'm just like, well, I didn't know I was funny like that. I thought I was funny like y'all just saying that. I didn't know nobody looked like you can do this. So I had no, can't be like one of those dudes that be like, I always knew I was going to be a comedian.
Me either.
I want to be a firefighter.
Yeah, right. You was about to put out some fires.
That was my dream job. Dude.
Right, you wanted to be a firefighter.
Yeah.
So I often ask comedians this question, like, how did you decide or what your voice would be or how did you get your style?
So it's crazy for me because you know, a lot of, like, you from the East Coast.
Yes.
There's a lot of rooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's comedy clubs. So when I started in a comedy club. There's not a lot of rooms in Miami. It was the improv, so you do comedy clubs. So I came up in comedy clubs.
So you missed the Marvin Dixon rooms?
Marvin had a night at the improv by the time I started. I never did studio.
You ain't do studio?
You did studio.
Yes,
sir. I was a kid.
Trenches in Miami.
I was a kid.
Yeah.
But we did 10:30 show on Tuesday, which was hell.
Okay. All right.
But so I'm like.
Shout out to Marvin Dixon.
I'm like 2 years in,
mm-hmm.
and I happened to get on a show with D.L. Hughley, a homecoming show for a college. They booked him, and then they let a local promoter book the MC. So I was the MC. And DL saw me. He was like, yo, you a funny young cat.
Yeah.
When I hit the road, I'm hell yeah. So I'm young. I'm green, but I'm performing in front of DL audiences. It'd be like performing in front of your audiences,
yeah.
which you guys
which
are kind of
really,
like.
Really good audiences.
Y'all have grown-ups.
Grown-ups that got
professionals.
Money. Professionals.
So now I got to adjust to that.
Yeah.
Because so
you used to doing the hood, the ghetto,
I was a
real
young kid.
Thug rooms.
I'm 22. So
in
I'm
Miami
talking about,
too?
I'm talking about. Nothing.
Yeah.
But then I get in front of this teachers, principals, bankers, you know, just working class people, you know, I got to adjust. So I kind of learn by watching that dude.
Evolve.
You know, then I did a couple of dates with you. I learned by watching a lot of
veterans.
Yeah. So then I got on with Sid. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Then as I kept going, then I got older and wiser. I started finding my own voice, and I'm still finding my voice.
Yeah, I like your evolution. And what I saw you talking about 15 years ago, you're not even talking about no more.
It's not even funny to me. No.
Right, right. And yeah. TC Cope, I always give him his flowers for this quote. He said, "Your life write the script. You don't."
Yeah.
And so, you know, as a comedian, as you experience life, things happen, and there goes the material.
Exactly. Like you ever see an older comedian or somebody in their 40s or 50s, and you listen to their set, you be like, that don't even sound like you. That you shouldn't be doing those jokes.
Right.
You're a grown ass man. Nothing happened in your life.
Nothing.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I always be like, I don't really match. So, yeah, I enjoy comedians when I'm looking at them like, oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm a comedian's comedian. Like some nights here, for those who are listening and people who are watching, you know, here in LA, we have Chocolate Sundays.
Yeah.
You can pop in at the Comedy Store or Laugh Factory, things of that nature, and you can work on a set. And I remember, you know, this was maybe 2 years ago. On a Sunday night, I was in LA. I just happened to be home that weekend, and I said, "Let me go to Chocolate Sundays." And I seen you do like 15, and you were smoking.
You
I was
just
like,
pulled up.
I was like, Malik is ferocious. I'm like, God
see,
damn.
The good thing about being Bill Bellamy in LA, you have to be booked. He could just show up and just. And just get a spot, and they be like, "Oh, we're gonna let Bill go up real quick."
Yeah, you know, I earned it, though.
But you earned
know,
that, yeah.
You know,
yeah, man.
It's a blessing to be able to go in the club and
not be booked, and do 30.
Because I always wanted to be like that kind of comedian. I remember saying, like, "Dang, man, I want to be famous enough that, like, if I walk in the room, they gonna want me to do
it. They gonna want you to go."
Yeah, you know what I mean. That's like you see Kobe come in the gym, you be like, "You gonna play?" Or you see Mike, you know what I'm saying? You see LeBron come in the gym,
you
like,
see
"Yo,
him.
Mike, you." Like, "Yo,
come on,
Mike,
man.
Come on, man, do something, man. A reverse
let's play
dunk.
Horse. I don't
yeah,
care.
Do something. You know what I mean?" But here's the thing that I've noticed too. Every comedian's career is completely different, right?
Everybody, man.
Everybody's ride is different. Recently, I had Deon Cole on, right?
Yeah.
Another good friend of mine who I love a lot in the game, and he's catching a wave right now,
yeah.
you know, in his career. But he wasn't doing so well in the beginning. He said it to me on the podcast
right.
that, you know, he was doing the stand up thing, but it wasn't catching.
It was yeah.
So he said, "Man, damn, I got to switch lanes for a minute." So he started writing,
right,
and that became very successful for him.
Right.
I feel like it's a very similar journey because you started out as a stand-up as well
yeah.
and was getting jobs, but you know, you kind of missed that whole Def Jam first volume
yeah.
two wave.
Yeah.
And then you came along on the second or third wave. And so now, what made you say, "I'm going to start writing TV"?
Well, I had another situation where I had no aspirations to be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
When I was on the road with Cedric, he had got a TV show.
Correct.
And then he was just like, "Yo, man, you're a funny dude. I want you to come be in the writer's room." And I was like, at that time, living in Miami, I was like, "Writer's room? don't they work my Monday through Friday? I'm a comedian. I don't want no job.
Yeah, I want no job. Yeah, you gonna put me at the bank.
But then he was like, he told me what it pay. I was like, well, I could try, you know.
I could try.
I mean, I tried out. And then I ended up doing it, but I think what happened was I got two kids. And then the money, you know, gave me that security.
Absolutely.
To be able to provide for my kids. I think if it was just me, I probably would have tried it and been like, I'm going to just thug this thing out on the road.
Correct.
But I got two kids, and it gave them a quality of life that I could provide for them.
Absolutely.
And then I still try to manage to do my comedy. I try to never let people forget that I'm a comedian first.
It's hard, though, because another one of my good friends that's a really,
Chris Spencer.
Chris Spencer.
Me and him had the same conversation. He was like,
it's hard.
Never let them forget you're a comedian.
Absolutely. Like Owen Smith, another one of my friends that is hilarious, right? Yeah. But here's the thing.
Ian Edwards.
Like, same these guys thing. Are stand-up comedians. Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
Judd Apatow is a stand-up comedian, people. But he decided to start writing and creating shows and movies and writing. So his sense of humor, his sense of humor and his pen translates in the writing room.
Yeah. I mean, my goal is to be able to keep doing it all to where I can create my own things.
Absolutely.
If y'all won't book me, then I'll book myself.
That's nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't see me as the lead. I do. This is my project.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. So, because I had Owen going out on the road with me for quite some time. And the one thing that I noticed and from his conversations and, you know, we out at lunch and stuff is that the writing room will steal your stand up. Like
if you let them.
Well, the thing about it is it puts you in a different pattern.
Right.
And you either writing jokes for someone else or you're writing jokes for a show that they are doing whatever way or you're punching up.
Right.
So now where do you get the opportunity? You're making good money at the studio.
Right.
You own the lot.
Yeah, you're on the lot.
That's
you got
a big,
badge.
That's, you got a badge.
Got an office.
So now, are you going to hustle, leave the studio, run and get on the road and get your chops up? How do you make the time?
That's exactly what I've been doing.
Right.
I still do. Like, I would leave the studio, go do a spot at the Laugh Factory, go do a spot at a bar. You know, sometimes I leave and come back. I just go do a quick spot and come back to work. That's exactly what, like, I hit you up. Like, Bill, yo, you know, let me MC this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I take a Friday off and then come
and
back.
And go get it.
I've been managing it, man, because stand-up is the first love.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to let that go.
And the thing about it is I have a lot of comics who are my friends that had stopped doing stand-up for a while.
Yeah, I can't see it.
And I could never stop being a comedian. Like,
right.
I won't know what I would do with myself. If I write jokes in my sleep. Like, I'm always thinking of funny stuff, read every day, trying to find new bits.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite comedians that just stopped doing comedy was Daryl Heath.
Daryl Heath. Oh, wow.
Daryl Heath was probably, in my mind, one of the funniest people I had ever seen when I came to L.A. And I just didn't understand it.
How do you think? Well, I guess you got to have the love. If the love is not there.
But things happen in life, too.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I never knew what the story was why Daryl Heath stopped doing stand-up. But I felt like he was going to blow up.
Right.
Like, I was like, yo, he's so funny. He about to probably get a TV show or this something else. He was right there, too, right? And then I didn't see him for a long time.
Right.
It's like I would see you in gaps. You know, I'd be like, I see Malik, and then I don't see you. And then you pop up, you know, and I'd be like, yo, Malik, yo. And you'd be like, yeah, I'm right here. You know what I'm saying?
Never stop.
But the thing about different people's careers, and I can tell you from my experience, you know, everyone, if you stay in it long enough and you stay true to who you are, they'll come to you.
You're going to get a shot.
You'll get a shot.
That's what I believe. If you stay consistent and you stay, you know, working hard, you're going to get a shot. Now, I don't know what that shot might turn into, but you'll get a
shot. But whatever that shot is, you better shoot it.
Yeah, you're going to get a shot. It might be a three. It might be a tech. Might be a two-pointer, but you're going to get a shot.
Yeah.
I just feel like you're going to get it.
Because
you get multiple shots. I mean, we both had multiple shots.
Absolutely, but, you know, I have always tried to be consistent, and I've been very, very meticulous about the things that I want to do in my career. Like, I want to do roles that stand out if I'm doing like a movie or right. if I'm on a TV show. I want to do something that I know I could kill. Like, I remember when Sid, you know, was saying, you got to come on The Neighborhood. You got to come kick it with me.
Right.
I'm like, Sid, you know I'll come do the show. It just got to be something that I know I could kill.
Right.
And so when he sent me, you know, the information, I was like, oh, on that role, oh, that's a layup. Like, yeah. I'm a you know, that's a layup for me. I'm about to kill that. You know what I'm saying? Right. But then also too, speaking of shots, like there's people like Kevin Hart, you know.
Yeah.
I use his career as an example of never giving up on yourself.
Right.
You know, I remember Kev out there, you know, being in the clubs and not doing that good at first and struggling, getting his voice, finding his feeding, his right. footing, you know. Kev was like, he was tenacious with that shit. Like, I just was seeing Kev, like, I'm like, Kev is like, man, I don't know if they like me, man. Like, what's going on? Like, I've been doing the white rooms, then I come to the black rooms and people, right. and I was like, Kev, just keep coming. Just keep, sure enough, boom, he kept coming. Got better. Bow. Now he's Kevin Hart, right?
Kevin Hart.
Like, I remember when people didn't know who Cat Williams was.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? I remember I'd known Cat Williams my whole damn career.
Right.
And
I didn't know who he was till he blew up.
See, I knew him before he blew up.
Right.
I remember when Cat Williams was doing guest stars and like, you know, you didn't know who he was. You didn't know he was going to eventually, you didn't know he was a comedian.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Thought he was an actor.
You say, hey, he's this funny little, he do characters.
Right.
Boom, bam, Mike Epps came up with me. Mike Epps, me and Mike at the Peppermint. Mike's like, man, shit. You know, Mike then never knew what jokes he was gonna do. Right. He was like, I'm on, okay. You know, I'll do something. You know, Mike was always to me, he was the first person I knew that was like, if ADD was a person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Mike could just be like talking
just go.
And then talk about me, this crackhead. You ever seen a crackhead eating popcorn?
Like, and kill.
And bro, I've seen Mike kill with the simplest things because he's just naturally gifted like that, right?
He's a funny guy.
But his career, boom, this way. Cat this way. Bill Bellamy that way. You know, now Deion Cole's coming, boom. Like, I feel like there's a lot of guys like yourself who are right there. Like, you're right there, like, at your tipping point. And I don't know if there's a really interesting book that I read called The Tipping Point, and it's about, this book is literally about being consistent so much that you force your success in your life. And right. it becomes a tipping point where it all goes clear.
It just have to happen.
Yeah, it has to. Because you
because you don't trick the universe.
You just trick the universe.
Yeah, the universe like, oh, my bad.
I want you to not be discouraged, you know,
right.
When it comes to this comedy game, because, you know, people will be like, yeah, man, you know, this one's blowing up now. This one got, right. you know, a TV show, or this one's, you know, got 18 million followers. Does that bother you when you see, like, you're like, I've been out here 29 years exactly. and a dude got 18 million followers because he a dancer?
I'll be honest with you.
You're a good dancer.
If you're a human being,
right.
of course that. It messes with you a little bit.
Right.
But I stay grounded and I'm blessed to not stay in that space for long.
Okay.
Like, I might be like 2 hours of the day be like, damn, man, I don't think this gonna happen.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, Bill, like, come do my podcast. I'm like, I'm back.
There you go.
I'm back. You know what I mean?
So,
but I never try to stay in that place like it's never gonna happen. I always believe it's gonna happen, but I'm a human.
So yeah,
you have down moments. You know what I mean?
Did you ever think about you would quit?
No, I never thought I would quit.
Right.
Because I don't know what else would I do. But the funny thing is, I deal with this weird thing where sometimes I feel guilty for wanting more, because sometimes you look at like, man, what I do for a living? You know, it ain't really nothing, and I make a lot of money.
Right.
And then
why am I
feeling down about wanting more when it's somebody working at a warehouse, working really hard, doing important work, and they not gonna even touch nowhere near
where you
so
at?
So then I feel guilty about that.
What it is your ambition.
Yeah.
Your ambition has no ceiling, so you shouldn't feel guilty for that.
Right.
You know. I do the same thing. What I do is I'm thankful. I just think about all the great things that I've created already. Right.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you forget.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes I'll be like, yo, man, I forgot I did that.
I mean, I'm going to tell you like this, dude. You may forget, but like it's few people from the Def Jam that it's just like you can't get, like, you one of the people you can't get out of your head from the car joke. You know what I'm saying? I'm probably, that was one of my favorite
jokes.
I'm probably 13, 12 or something.
And you still
like
remember
that. And I remember staying up late night sneaking, because Def Jam came on like at 12.
At midnight, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So I wasn't even supposed to be up.
This is VHS days, people. Yeah. VHS days.
I'm not even supposed to be up.
You supposed to be in the bed,
yeah,
bed.
Yeah. And I'm watching you do the car joke, and I still remember that joke, dude. Like, it's certain people from Def Jam, you, Chris Tucker, those, and it's other people, but just off the top, if you be like, name me two from, you be like, Bill, Chris Tucker.
Yeah, yeah.
And Steve. Steve Harvey with the eye. With the eye.
And I remember when Eddie Griffin did that spin, like he did 9 spins, like
in a row.
Like he did a Michael Jackson spin, and his hat was spin. He had that big, like, big man. Eddie Griffin killed Def Jam.
And I will say this: like, some people, you hit that Kevin level,
yeah,
and you know we all thrive for that,
yeah.
But I'm gonna tell you, man, like to watch you, DL, Cedric, to have a 30-something plus career just steady. That's amazing too, dude.
Yeah, well, it's really hard.
Not easy to do too. Because you could do this and then
Be gone.
But to do this for 30-something years, dude.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So you guys are. So we on LeBron. We do 30, dude, 15, and 12.
Y'all not coming off the bench.
We not coming off the bench. Y'all not coming off the bench, dude. Man. That's thank you. That's really
hard to, like, I watch y'all career and I'm just like, you know what? If I never hit that Kevin, if I can have that, I'm good.
Yeah, and then you know what?
Everybody can hit that Kevin.
Everybody may not peak to that level. Yeah. You know, it might be, you know, some people might score 60 in a game.
Yeah,
and then somebody might just score 26 a game and but hit their whole career.
Or you might score 60 in a game, be out the league in 2 years
because you broke your leg.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean?
So why you got to be careful who you envy, or careful not to forget who you are.
Right.
Because, like, I had a conversation with Earthquake. Shout out to my boy Earthquake. And we were talking about the Instagram, you know, the social media thing. And he was like, man, it's crazy how now, you know, how many followers you have is included inside your portfolio.
Everything.
For everything.
It's crazy.
Earthquake had the dopest thing. He said, it's not how many followers you have, it's who you can follow. I said, Whoa.
That's Quake.
Yo, that's Quake. I said, yo, Quake killed that. Because it's true. It's like you might have 30 million followers on Instagram, but can you follow a vet on a show?
Yeah.
That's tight.
That's different.
Because them 30 million people ain't in here right now.
That's different.
Yeah,
and they'll never be.
Yeah.
It's easy to do this.
Push,
you know
button.
What I'm saying? Like, I'm going to tell you, like, just working in TV, and I'm watching it kind of slowly go away, they would always just try to get these influencers to come on a TV show, right?
Okay.
The guest star. And then the ratings be the same. Or drop. It don't do nothing.
It don't do nothing.
Because it's like, I'm going to watch you on this damn phone. That's it. You know,
I'm not gonna go everywhere you go.
No, and I'm not gonna, half the time, I'm not gonna drive where you at, pay for parking, put on clothes, buy 2 drinks. It's easier for me to just.
Yeah, because a lot of times when you think about it, what's crazy about the phone, everyone has a phone. Kids have phones.
Easy to tap the follow button.
Yeah, you know, you could be like, oh, tap in, tap out. Doesn't necessarily translate to
a true fan.
A purchase of a ticket.
Exactly.
Right.
Which is different.
Which is
like
a whole different.
You got somebody like you who may have less followers on social media than another guy, but you sold out 5.
Bam. Because the thing with me in my career, which I'm very, very blessed, is I was able to get entrenched in the culture early.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So people from the 90s on, when I jumped in the scene, I got engulfed in the culture. So now when internet hit,
yeah.
Now I kind of just like blew within the, so I got the real culture thing and then the new wave of the social media and the Facebook, because then I got certain fans that just do Facebook.
Right.
Now I got new fans that's on Instagram, and then I just learned YouTube. There's other people on TikTok and YouTube.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, it's a bunch of stuff to manage. Yeah. Now, if you could do everything that you want to do, that you've dreamed, and your career would be like, all right, I did it the way I want. check off the boxes for me. Hit series.
Sell out arenas.
Okay. You on your K-Hart. You on your Eddie Murphy.
Because to me, once I sell out arenas, everything else just falls into place.
Yeah.
They not going to not give you a TV show if you sell out arenas.
No, they not.
So what I'm saying, if you do that, whatever else you want to do is like, sure.
The beauty of selling out arenas is that it is a confirmation of where you are with your fans.
Yep.
You know, Kevin Hart is an example of that. Like all that hard work, they are showing you that they love you and they support you.
Sometimes I do sell out two shows in the same city in an arena.
Yeah.
I mean, he was better than the basketball team.
I was just in Vegas and he did a show and it was to the wild, wild, wild. Usher was performing too. To the wild, wild, wild.
Impact to the wow.
You know what I'm saying? And then Dave would do a show with him or next to him. And that'll be, because we all got our fan base that's locked in, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's why I love comedy, man. Like, comedy is a gift that just keeps giving.
It saved my life. It keeps, when I am truly down, comedy is just like, all right, get your ass up.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? Get your ass up. You got responsibilities.
Do you feel like, I don't know if you ever take it to this deep. Do you feel like your gift is really, really special and God gave it to you to give to people?
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, what would you do with all this? You know what I mean? I think it's so crazy. Everything's changing. And some of it is for the good. Some of it is weird to me. Like, comedians out of nowhere, we've been put on this pedestal where our words hold more weight than politicians and preachers.
Yes,
whatever we say now all of a sudden is dissected and broken down and this and that. Right. And I'm like, but a politician could say whatever. Marjorie Taylor Greene could say whatever the hell. Nobody cares. Trump could say whatever. You say something.
Oh, Bill Bellamy said. He a trip.
I'm like, when we got all this responsibility.
Well, see, the thing about it, I think, is because of social media, because now, you know, you could do a joke and they could travel, you know,
right.
It could be, you know,
but the politician edited. Could say something that's not a joke and offensive and it's like, whatever.
Bro, when you come to all the fans that's listening and watching, when you come to a comedy show, you are supposed to be there to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be there like, oh my God, I can't believe he talked about turtles. You know, oh my God, I have three turtles. Oh my God. You know, like, it's so
I'm with the turtles of America and we don't like that joke.
I did a joke one time, man, about how they had a fake signer, what did they call it? Like
signing people?
Signing people, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. But they had a fake one at the Olympics. He was just making up his own signs, right? So I used to do that joke and it would kill, right? It would kill.
Until one day,
a real deaf person was at my show. And I'm like, you ain't even hear it. Why are you tripping? You ain't even hear
somebody
it.
Told you,
and
you what
somebody
I said.
Told you what I said. Now you all up in my face with the real hands, right? I was like, what is wrong with y'all? Like, dude, you know I'm joking, right?
Right.
I'm actually doing the joke in support of people who are really deaf and saying that this guy is
a fraud.
He's a fraud.
Right.
It's actually, man, they was hot. I got a long, you know, a letter on Facebook, how insensitive and this, that, and the other. And I was like, come on, bro. But honestly, one person out of a million got mad.
Yeah.
So I figured, like, you know.
I had the same thing. I just got a long DM from this lady. I did a joke about, you know, and this one is touchy, but I'm like, I'm not going to apologize for it.
Right.
Because it's just how I feel. I did a joke about how black people can't commit suicide. Right. I was like, not now. Like, you top billing on Hollywood Boulevard, you going to kill your damn self. I'm like, what you going to do if you meet our ancestors? What you going to tell Harriet Tubman?
Like, you killed yourself for what?
You had a podcast.
And you was free.
Yeah, you was free, nigga. Look at my back. You know, she sent me this long thing. Oh. My brother committed suicide.
Oh, Lord.
You bought all that pain back, da 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 da. And I was just like,
man.
Shawty, I'm sorry. You know what?
This is not funny to me. I laugh immediately.
That's not on me.
But the thing is, that's why I'm fighting for the freedom of speech. I'm passionate about what we do because all of us don't write like, some of us write from real perspectives, right? And you should be able to, as a comedian, we're not here to be politicians. We're not here to try to make people change their lives. What we're doing is like we're taking a snapshot of culture. We're taking a snapshot of something like that. Like, you know, you took suicide and flipped it in a different way.
What she didn't realize is comedians don't speak sometimes just directly. Actually, what I'm saying is don't do it. That's what I'm saying.
But they don't take the time to do that.
They don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't encouraging people to do it. It's actually the opposite. I'm like, don't kill yourself.
Right.
Times will get better.
Because it's not that bad.
Things will change, dog. Whatever you're going through, it won't last
always. It's a moment.
Yeah.
And moments change.
Don't make a permanent decision for a temporary problem. That's what I was saying. But she just.
I like that. Don't make a permanent decision on a temporary
problem. But she ran long-ass DM. I was like, girl, unread.
Like, that's, I always feel like sensitive people on Facebook and funny and crazy people on Instagram. That's like the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Because everybody on Facebook got something to say and they be mad.
I mean, mad. Like for people you haven't even met.
How dare you?
You don't even know them.
Talk about cows. I had a cow. You'd be like, bitch, is you serious?
But the crazy thing is like, they would say that to you, but then ride by McDonald's. Why you ain't gonna protest them? Like the thing that happened with Kyrie Irving. Everybody mad at Kyrie Irving, but the thing is literally on Amazon.
That pissed me off.
But they not protesting Amazon.
But this is bro, that's the thing about the Kyrie Irving thing that pissed me off. They tearing Kyrie Irving out
of the
frame. But
Bezos making money off of it.
Bezos put it up there.
He's literally making money from it. All Kyrie did was like, hey, y'all.
Amazon said, yo, we buying this and put it up.
And
Jeff Bezos ain't have to do nothing.
To me, the whole argument, if I was Kyrie, I'd have been like, see where the link go. The link that I posted, tap it, see where it go. Take your
Call
argument
Jeffrey.
Over there. You know what I'm saying?
But people didn't want to get the Amazon Prime shut off, so they didn't say nothing.
You know, the outrage is just like, you know,
I don't know if you heard recently, you know, because, you know, comedians, we always stay in the, you know, on the topical surface. You know Scottie Pippen's ex-wife, Larsa Pippen. You know who she is?
I heard something about
it. Did you hear recently?
She's dating somebody young?
She's dating Michael Jordan's son.
Oh.
Mm. Now, just look, let's just dissect this as comedians, right? Your teammate's son is dating your ex-wife.
Right.
You cool with it?
It depends how many years it's been. I feel like
your ex all the way.
I think it's a pride thing.
Yeah.
I don't think he even really truly care. It's just the pride thing. Like
Michael Jordan pride?
No, Scottie Pippen pride. Like you won't date this, you know, I don't think Jordan care. Like
yeah, that's his son.
Yeah, he don't care. I think for Scottie Pippen, it's kinda like
it's a little tight.
He's a little tight.
Because he's going over there with Jordans on.
Yeah. And I think their relationship already not
it's
even that good anyway, right?
Huh?
Their relationship not even that good.
Yeah, I saw The Last Dance. I think it's a little rocky right now. But I heard a thing the other day that tripped me out. I want to share this with you because you're funny. Did you hear that Larsa Pippen said that Scottie had to hit it 4 times a night?
Oh, see.
I
don't know if Michael Jordan's son is listening. If I'm him, I'm out. I ain't got four times a night dick. I ain't got that kind of dick. I ain't got 4 times a night.
Yo, she said Scottie was that dude. He was drilling.
Four times?
He had to have it. He had to have it for breakfast, it for lunch, and maybe a little brunch, and then dinner.
I can't do
it. I don't know.
That's too much.
Can you
go to practice?
Yeah, and get buckets.
Nah.
You ain't got
Maybe
like
that's
that.
What it was, though. Maybe that's what really got him nice. I don't know.
Can you do 4 times in a week?
Yeah, I could do 4 times in a week. And
what
even,
about in a day?
Even no, I'm not doing. Four
you can't
times
do four
day.
Times in a day. Right, what's wrong with you, Malik?
If I ever did 4 times in a day,
you'd be dead.
Two of them. I'm gonna fake like I came. I'm gonna fake. Oh. I can't
Malik,
bust four real ones.
You look like you in shape.
I can't
Malik,
bust four
Malik,
real
four
ones.
Four in a day.
Mentally, I just don't care no more after two.
Oh,
like,
so
God,
you just
girl,
you
now.
Dialing it in
gone
now.
Now.
You ain't even into it no more.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's all from the back because I'm watching TV.
What is wrong with you, bro?
Four times in a day, bro?
Bro, I mean, back in the day, the rumor was that Wilt Chamberlain knocked off like, well, I don't know, 15,000 women, something crazy.
I think I have done four times in a day, but that's just one of those days that I...
You was
all day in the house, ain't left the house type situation. Bro.
During COVID, you ain't try that. You was nobody had nothing to do.
But four times in a day on purpose?
Nah.
I just don't.
I think you lazy, Malik.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do four times in a day. That sounds like a whole week. That's a week, bro.
Oh my god. Four times? I think she's exaggerating.
I don't even think most women want four times in a day.
I don't know. I wish we had our whole team here.
I don't think most women.
Because we could ask the girls.
That's a lot
we got
of
a lot
friction,
of girls.
Dog.
Because that's a lot.
That's a lot of friction.
That's a lot of beating.
That's a lot of in and out, though.
Yeah.
You know
that's
what I'm
tough.
Saying? That's a lot of.
You know, she might have that WAP, though.
That make it worse. It'd be four quick ones.
She might have that WAP, man. They got it out here. They got a new breed out here. That WAP has got them going 4, 5, 8, 6, 7 times a day.
Maybe that's why she's dating a young dude.
Pow, there you go. There
you date me. It ain't happening, baby.
Man, Malik, you know, you might not want to say that. Man.
I'm
there
saying
might be
it.
Some potential people
I'm
out here that like
it, man. I'm at an age where I'm just going to be me. I don't have four times a day dick. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole week.
That's a
week worth of dick.
Yeah.
In one day?
So four times five. God damn.
Yeah.
20 times in a week?
I'm not doing
it. And you got a job?
And I got to go to work. I got to sleep. I got to be a dad.
You got a real life, man.
I got other stuff going on. I can't just.
You're not a porn star.
Drop dick off all day. But what's she doing, though? What is she doing?
Where's she?
Shouldn't
she
ain't
be
got
somewhere?
To do? Yeah, like you ain't got nothing to fold, no laundry. You ain't got to do your hair or nothing. Like, God, you ain't gonna call your mama, nothing. God damn. You ain't got nothing to do. You ain't got to catch up on housewives or nothing.
Nothing.
Like, come on, man.
See,
that means she ain't got nothing to do. I can't date a woman that ain't got nothing to do.
She gotta have some.
Because when they ain't got nothing to do, you know what that means. They all up on you and where you going and what you doing.
So when you meet somebody, you get them a job immediately.
Well,
you make sure you
gotta have a
you
job.
You gotta come visit
like,
them somewhere.
I'm kind of different in my life now, and I move like women move. You know how women don't date broke dudes?
Right.
Me neither. I don't date broke women. Like if you live by Popeyes or churches, I can't date you. That's not a good area.
Already know you live by Popeye churches.
If you can walk to Popeye's,
you can't.
Because you live, it's probably loose dogs around there. And, you know, I come outside, six dudes on my car.
Your window definitely bust out. The back window busted out.
I'm not dating no, you know. I ain't say a woman got to be rich, but.
But she can't live by Popeye's. Because every time you pick it up. She smell like a three-piece.
You go to her house, she only got two pillows on the bed. That's a weak-ass bed.
That's a weak-ass bed.
Come on, man. You know women be having, what, 8, 9 pillows on the bed? Two pillows? That's a dorm room bed. That's a dorm room bed. I'm not sleeping in that. Come on, man.
Hey, Malik.
Not doing it.
Yeah. So, Malik, you obviously single.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
I know
here.
You got a little something.
I'm out here.
But I'm saying you outside.
I'm outside.
So do you now at this age in your life, do you want to, date a little older or right below older?
Only older. Only my age. And I mean, you know what? Some women are mature. None under, I wouldn't date under 35 though. I wouldn't date under 37.
You just pick an odd number.
Yeah,
37.
Because that's a solid
you
number.
You should know where you are at 37.
Because at 37, even if there are kids, the kids probably at least
14, 15,
you know what I'm saying? So it's about to be over.
Yeah, and y'all can go out and stuff.
We could just pick up and go. We ain't got to worry about babysitter. Because my daughter's 14, my son's 24, so I'm almost done.
You almost done.
So I ain't trying to meet nobody with a 4-year-old.
No.
I'm not finna start that far over, and it ain't mine. I don't want to go to a parent-teacher conference and I'm not the parent.
Ah, so you're not going to be you're not really cool with being the other baby dad.
No, I am, but at older where we can, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we can
talk. We can talk. You know what I mean? I'm not trying
to re-raise. You know I really love your mama, so you're going to stop cutting up?
Yeah, I don't want to re-raise. Like, I just want to be like, come along, be like, oh, you my dude, you know what I'm saying? You my homegirl, you know what I'm saying? You a solid-ass stepdaughter, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got to be honest with yourself.
I got a question for you. Because I've hit all the cities in this country, and I've had a great... What's your top five cities for comedy?
Oh, man. You know what's crazy? Indianapolis and Houston.
Well, that...
Dude, they go crazy.
I can't believe you ain't say Chicago.
Crazy. Chicago, too. Chicago, but I'll just... Not do the ones you would think. Indianapolis, dude.
They go hard.
Houston is a... Big comedy town. It could be three comedy shows in Houston. They all sold out. Yeah.
They love comedy down there.
Chicago show love, you know.
The entire
Chicago
career.
Chicago always nice.
I ain't never had a bad time in Chicago. Yeah. Chicago always show love. Yeah. I haven't been to New Orleans in a while, and I love New Orleans.
New Orleans show love. Yeah. The whole down south, you're going to be nice.
Yeah.
If you funny, you go down south,
oh,
you're going to eat. Like, you're going to be good. You always cute. So.
But there's certain places like you ever did a show and you said I'm never gonna go there again in a city that you said this is it.
You know what? Here's the thing: my career and your career is different right now because usually if I'm doing a show like a big show, I'm probably with DL or Sid, Russell Peters or somebody like you. It's not my show.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to say like I ain't going back.
Yeah, you going back?
Yeah, because well, also like, I'm always like the extra. Chicken tender. You ordered six, but they gave you seven. So I'm always like, oh, like, dude was funny. We didn't even know he was on the show.
Yeah, man.
So it's always like that. And then I tell comedians all the time, like, when they work with big names and they kill, I'd be like, well, dude, you got to remember, like, you was a surprise. Ain't no pressure on you.
Yeah, you know that's true. So don't, but you got to kill, though.
You got to kill, but it still is no pressure.
Hey, man, I remember when I was the chicken tender. I opened up for Ray Romano.
Right.
Kill. And I never forget. I was at Rascals in West Orange, New Jersey. Right. And they liked me up there. They used to let me host on some of the weekends and stuff. And they was like, yo, this cat named Ray Romano, he had HBO. He's at CBS. Yeah, yeah. He already had credits.
Yeah, he was.
My only credit was that you seen him at the car wash. You know what I'm saying? Some weird local guy.
Right, right.
And I remember saying, man, I'm going to have credits like him one day or whatever. You know, and Ray was always dope and cool and shit. And I was just like, damn, man, he got all them credits. God, he been on TV. He been in the movie and what have you. So what I did was, my goal was to make his audience want become my audience.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I try to do every time I'm with those guys. I do my thing. I kill and you know and try to get them to be like, okay, all right, cool. Because you know when you go out there first, like, who is this?
Yeah, they always think the first guy going
to be
doo-doo.
Supposed to be, yeah,
but
see,
all the veterans bring good guys. Like, if you smart, you
if
bring
you a beast.
If you a beast, you good.
Yeah,
like DL is a legend. Like right. DL. I don't care if an elephant was out there. DL gonna kill.
He don't be intimidated at all, dude. Even when like that crazy stuff that happened with Monique, he still went up that night.
Yeah,
I was like, that boy's a legend.
Listen to me, DL Hughley is the equivalent. What's happening? DL Hughley is such a legend to me as like with the stature of what a real comedian is, right? He would be like the Red Fox.
He's a pure comedian.
Pure. You look up comedian, DL got all the boxes checked off, right?
Yep.
I've seen DL get in a full throttle argument and still get a standing ovation.
Yep.
Like he had two switches.
Yeah.
So... Because I don't want to say the comedian name because me and D, we laugh about this. Right. DL cursed this comedian out from Compton to all the way to Louisiana. Like, because he did, he did like 40 minutes, 45 minutes and over. He was only supposed to do 20.
Wow. Did almost an hour.
Everybody want to know who it is, too. I know they want to know. I know who it is.
I think I know who it is.
And you already know who it is. We ain't gonna say. This comedian went way over his time. So I went first. I only had to do 25 minutes. Right. He was only supposed to do 25 minutes. And DL's closing. This was one of them shows. Boom, 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 bam. Right. DL's the headliner, right? DL said, what? Oh, man. Thomas. How long you been out there?
I said,
you know, he be drinking his little wine.
Yeah.
He threw that wine down.
He been out there.
He was, man, I could be in the hotel now because, you know, by this time he should be on.
Right,
he'd be on his last 20 When I tell you D.L. Hughley cussed this man out to the point, if D.L. would have had a gun, he would have killed him. He was really, and he was right, because it was disrespectful. But anyway, long story short, he went all the way to 15, and then he went, all right, bring me up. Like, all of that just stopped. Skirt. He went into comedian mode, bam, 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 standing ovation, and walked out of there.
It did his thing. Dude, I've seen that dude do some incredible things.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that is the beauty of the guys that, you know, came up with me. And you
y'all
are.
Got a strong class.
We got a strong class. We the best.
Yeah,
I'm just being honest.
I'm going to give it to y'all.
I always tell comedians, I can say this with pride, there'll never be another graduating class like us. It's too many superheroes that came out of the Def Jam 90s.
Yeah, it was a good draft.
I mean, if I could give you 10 off the top, just off the top of my head, that you just can't fade.
Well, here's this crazy thing. Y'all still working.
Yeah.
So that alone
says what it is.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that was a good draft.
Right. Yeah, but I want there to be something for the new era, like the new class of comedians. Right. You know, I feel like the social media is sort of like their Def Jam, the new cats, where they're able to, you know, be creative. They are able to put up stuff right away. They are able to edit what they want and do skits and stuff and do some stand-up stuff as well. So I think that's their Def Jam, but it would be dope to have something right now. Like if you were on that,
right?
You up next.
Yeah.
We need that. We don't even have I remember when Comic View was putting cats on.
They don't do stand-up shows no more.
Why not?
I think because of the social media, they figure, who going to watch them? People just watch it online, I guess.
Nah, you need to see comedy. Yeah.
It's some good comedy out here right now.
Though. Absolutely.
It's you got myself, you got Ali Sadiq. You know what I'm saying?
That's one of my people right there.
We got some beasts out here, man.
I feel
man.
Like we, I raised we Ali. Still out that's here. My bro. Yeah. Ali!
Yeah.
That's Lee!
Yeah. We still out here.
D-Lay.
Man.
You know D-Lay, my D-Lay.
Sean Larkins.
Sean Larkins.
Naeem Lynn.
Naeem.
My boy.
Y'all got some killers.
We got some people out here, man.
My boy A-Train.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a funny Jess Niche.
Jess Niche.
Funny
yes.
as hell, man. So.
We
got some.
You know Rita Brent?
Yeah. She's Rita funny. Brent. Yeah, Rita's dope.
Yeah.
Rita's dope. Ashima Franklin's dope. We got Carlos Miller.
Carlos Miller.
You know what I mean? We got DC some
people. Young Fly.
DC Young Fly. You know what I mean? We
Hey, I like Desi Banks too.
Desi Banks, you know.
I like these guys that, you know, I know take it serious. And you gotta throw T.I. in there now, because T.I. changed T.I. out there swinging.
You know what I'm saying? Grand Hustle don't put his hat right.
Yeah. You know what I love about Tip is like he's so honest, man.
Yeah.
I say, man, you really you like comedy over rap. He was like, man, you dig, I don't have the mental capacity to do hip hop like I used to.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in a different place.
You know what's crazy?
Oh, that's kind of dope.
3000 said it. Andre 3000. He said hip hop is a youth thing. Mm-hmm. And you just as you get older, you in your 40s, it's not there, I guess. I mean, I never rap.
Well, if you never got successful, you could still talk that shit.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? But once you get rich, you Andre Three Stacks. Andre Three Stacks to make so much money, he don't even know he Three Stacks.
Right. He don't even look at himself as the greatest rapper.
Like, he doesn't even realize, I bet, he doesn't even realize how people look at him.
Right.
Because I think he's top 10.
I think he top 2. Just me. This is me. I'm biased. I think Andre 3000 is the greatest.
Andre 3000 is legendary because of style, the type of stuff that
content.
He
never killed nobody.
Never had no drama.
Yeah, never.
But the thing that I love about Andre 3000, if you really love hip hop and you know lyricists and MCs, he embodies that, but with so much like swag or something like he, you know, he's a calling out the thing out. If you ain't get ready to bang, ain't he can go, I'm sorry about bag that. And then the next thing you know, he could come on and kick 16 ball.
Yeah,
18 is enough. What?
And then jump on the one with Kanye about the mom.
Killed that one. Every time he come in, he do some like Eminem shit and just leave.
If Outkast said it was going on tour right now.
It ain't 16.
That's Rick Ross one. If they went on tour right now, it'll sell out probably in a day. Gone.
There's a couple people.
I'm going. Here.
Listen to me right now. There's a couple people right now that I would pay whatever it took to see them live.
Yeah.
Lauryn Hill. Haven't seen Lauryn
Hill
in forever.
Lauryn Hill.
And the Fugees.
Yeah.
Andre and Big Boy got to be together.
Dude, imagine. I don't know who got the money who could make this happen. A Fugees Outkast tour.
Oh, it's over. You don't have arenas big enough for that.
Bruh.
Just them two.
Just them two. You don't need nobody else. They got enough catalog.
Yeah. Bum, bum, bum. Boy, you better watch out. Oh, my God.
I'm going to put in the universe a Fugees Outkast tour. Live Nation. Make it happen. Y'all got deep pockets. Pull it off.
Bro. See, that's hip hop, though.
You gone.
Okay. All right. On this show, before we get out of here, we always have fun with our guests now.
Let's go.
You now officially a member of Top Billing.
Let's go.
You in.
Appreciate it, man.
All right. This section of Top Billing is called All Facts. It's where I ask you a question and you got to tell me the truth. Just talk.
Keep it. So you can't lie.
Don't lie about it.
Damn.
All right, here we go. You give me your top five comedians that you would want to be on a show with.
Oh, damn, man. Come on,
I got to give you five.
Come on,
and you the host.
Oh, it's a stand-up show.
Oh, yeah, but you host it. But these are your people. You get to create the show. Who would your five comedians be? Don't be scared. Don't hurt nobody's feelings.
People going to be hurt.
Let them deal with it.
People going to be hurt. I mean, I'm a lawyer.
Like Malik S. on some bullshit.
I'm a lawyer, dude. You know what I'm saying? So I got to put DL and Sid off top.
One,
so
two.
So we only got three spots left.
You got three left.
You always show me love, so I only got two left.
Go ahead.
Damn.
Somebody about to cry. Go ahead.
Oh, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm putting people I'm fans of and rock with. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put Ali Sadiq.
Okay.
And it'll be Sean Larkin / Tony Roberts.
Oh, yeah. You got it.
Need my people.
You got to have Tony Roberts and Sean. Yeah. So I'll see what you're saying.
I let them split the set.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah, y'all do 15 and 15.
Yeah, split day time. Yeah. So that'll be my show. I don't know who's going to close out of use, said a deal. Y'all figure that out.
No, we'll figure it out.
It might be Tony Robbins.
It might be Tony Robbins. He don't care. Well, you could put him anywhere.
His energy.
You could put him at the front of the train or the back. It don't matter. Tony Robbins is bananas.
He going to kill.
All right. All facts. Three comedians that influenced your career.
Oh, again, said and deal. That's who I was around. Mm-hmm. And
old school.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but before I found out he was, you know, stroking his meat, I really used to love Louis C.K.
Oh, you know he was nasty.
I didn't know he was out here beating his meat on people. But he
that don't have nothing to do with the stand-up.
That's what I'm saying.
He just nasty.
But I like how he was, and this might sound crazy, like I feel like sometimes white comedians have more freedom to be dark and to be dark than black people. We always like, oh, right, you said that. Especially if it's about religion. Oh my God.
You can't do that.
Louis C.K., I just watched him do jokes and he didn't give up. It was dark as hell and they'd be like, he did that shit. So I always like that.
Yeah,
so.
I think Louis C.K., his stand-up has always been brilliant to me. You know what I'm saying? He was coming up with me. Like, I would see him in New York and, you know, he was always himself.
Fearless.
Yeah, and he'll talk about anything. You know what I'm saying? And that's, once again, found his lane.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So everybody has a lane, you know. You just got to master your lane.
Yeah.
You can't worry about this guy's what he doing and she doing. You know, be in your lane and be comfortable in that joint. Learn it.
And don't beat off on people, though.
Yeah, don't do that. That's not nice. That is definitely not nice.
Ain't nothing that funny. You can't do that. Can't get past that.
All right, all facts. Your five favorite comedians, female.
Oh, female. Some more.
Bam.
Jess Niche.
Bam.
Ashima Franklin.
Bam.
Carmen Barton, she's dope.
Boom.
Ooh. I know it's other ones, but you know how you rushing.
Don't be scared.
Takara Williams.
Oh, bam. Yeah. So I like Takara.
Yeah, those would be my favorite. And I know it's something that I miss, but those just thinking off the top.
So
those
five are solid. You just don't jump past Coco Brown?
See, that's what I'm saying. See how you started? See, this is what I'm saying.
You just gonna, you know, skip by Dominique.
That's why I slash Dominique Coco Brown.
See what I'm saying? I'm gonna give him a shot. You gonna just forget about Lunel.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Oh, see, you selfish.
This whole five is a setup, because he know you can't really do
you
five.
You can't. And that's why, why I say five.
This is the clickbait. Oh, Malik say Coco Brown ain't funny.
Shit.
No,
we not. What's up? We not gonna do you like that. All right. Wait, one more. I'm gonna do one more with you. All facts, Malik S. You get to pick five of the most influential hip hop artists of all time. Who would they be in?
Why? Oh well, Outkast. Is that one or two?
One. So because they together, they come.
So Outkast.
Bam.
His what. This is going to sound controversial off top. For some people, it's not controversial with me at all. Uncle Luke.
Yeah. Well, you Miami.
A lot of people don't get that man his flowers. All this freedom people have now, an independent label.
Because of him.
That's Luke, dog.
That's Luke.
You know what I'm saying? None of that would be happening.
Wasn't nobody popping it.
It wasn't nobody independent. It wasn't nobody cursing on records. Yeah. That's Luke, dog.
That's Luke right there. So, Luke Records.
Luke. You got to put, what do I say? Outkast, Luke, Jay-Z, of course, just the body of work.
Yeah, you know.
You know what I'm saying? Jay-Z. You say influential.
Influential,
right?
like in the culture. This is what Top Billing's about. We all about the culture, baby.
That moved it?
That moved the needle.
You got to give, I guess, Snoop.
Snoop definitely move the needle for the West Coast. You crazy.
And was that four or five?
That's four. You got one more. Move the needle in the culture.
Move the needle, because that could change the sound too.
It could be whatever you want. This is all, you know, this Top Billing. This is all facts, baby.
Rap. Oh, I want to say I could go Scarface or Fugees.
Oh, okay. Well, you got to go face then.
Yeah.
You got to split them. Another one. They get 15.
Because I'm just looking at move the culture and different sounds. You know what I'm saying? Not just.
Scarface. Got to be mentioned.
He got to be
mentioned. There is nothing to talk about.
He was doing grown man rap back then. You know what I'm saying? His rap was always grown.
Grown.
You know what I mean? He
had a 45-year-old voice in third grade.
He always felt like a grown-ass man. He always felt like he the age he is now back then.
Yeah, like face looked like he was never a baby.
Yeah.
He was just grown.
Just
came
serious.
Out
yeah.
serious and he, yeah. with the pen.
Yeah.
I interviewed him. His pen game is slightly underrated, I think. And when people start thinking about dudes that can
underrated.
write lyrics that are like profound.
Face is cold.
He's cold than
face
a motherfucker.
Face is cold. But yeah, that's my Jay-Z, Outkast, Face, who else I said? Snoop, you know, and Uncle Luke. Because, you know, those people made changes to sounds and culture.
Like, oh, your top five is actually, you know, it's ready. No one's going, only the women in comedy going to be mad at you. But in hip hop, you're fine.
Somebody going to be mad about Luke.
You got to, what's the area code from Miami?
305, baby.
Yeah, you got the 305, baby.
County. You know, 305 is the most, popular area code.
Love Miami.
Everybody know 305.
Why y'all can't just behave during spring break in Miami?
It don't be us, though.
Why y'all be cutting up?
It be y'all.
Why do y'all always have to do something to shut down Ocean Drive?
It's always the out-of-towners. Because let me tell you something. This is real true. Miami people don't even go over there.
They don't go to the beach.
No. It don't even be us.
So you said it don't even be the real Miami people. It be me.
Out-of-towners,
coming down there, having a good time,
getting turned up,
wet willies.
Yeah. It don't be the locals. Because one... I mean, we go to the beach, but we know not to go around that time because all y'all going to be there.
Yeah.
So Miami people don't really, like, you ever seen somebody be like, I went to Miami. Where you was on the beach? You ain't been to Miami.
Bro, I've been to Miami twice and it was under curfew.
Yeah, you ain't been to Miami, dude.
Bro,
you ain't been
listen
to
me.
City. You ain't been to Open Lock.
No, I'm not talking, that's the real Miami. Every time I go there, Razor take me to the real,
Jamaican Club, the real Miami,
right? But the beach is like the tourist part.
That's the tourist part.
How about you go down there thinking you about to turn up and you got to be in your room at 8 o'clock?
I think they did that. They just passed something now. Yeah.
They was like, no. I went down there about a year and a half ago, and I was there for a corporate event, and I'm thinking I'm going out, and they was like, nah, Miami no, shut down because somebody
closed.
Last week did something crazy, so you got to go to bed.
Hey, yeah, it's closed. You're like, what is this, a CVS? What you mean y'all closed? We closed, dog. We closed at 8.
Hey, man, I want to thank you for coming by, Malik S. You are outstanding individual and a more incredible comedian. I just wish all the best.
Yes,
just
sir.
Keep rocking
it's
with
coming,
us.
It's coming, man.
Come on, man. You
I
there.
I got no choice.
Come on, man.
You
just speak it. Speak it.
It's happening, man.
Holla.
Catch me.
Only on Top Billing, everybody. This your boy, Bill Bellamy, my special guest, Malik S. Peace.
Milk is chilling. This is chilling. What more can I say?